In Jesus' name, amen. Our text this morning is taken from the prophet Jeremiah, where in verse 4 we read as follows. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So far the text. When Dean Roining asked whether I would preach this morning on this commemorative or at this commemorative service honoring the death of Dr. Walther in 1887, I suppose at first I had all the excuses running through my mind that Jeremiah has in this opening chapter. Why me? I said, do I look like him? He does kind of resemble Pappy Yochum, you know, in certain respects. But he dismissed all excuses that I might have thought up. And then I thought to myself, well, the only direct link that I can think of, which I have with Dr. Walther, was to my grandfather, whom Walther singled out in his last year at the seminary in 1883, just 100 years ago, I guess, and asked him to go down to New Orleans as a note trader, as an emergency preacher, 2 or 3 months before the end of the school year. The man had died of yellow fever, as a lot of other people were dying in New Orleans. I like to think that Walther selected him because he saw in him a man of maturity, young as he was, and fortitude. As I thought that over the other day, though, I wondered whether he thought he might have been, out of all the class, the most expendable one. Nonetheless, he survived, filled the pulpit and the assignment, and also met my grandmother, a young lady at that time who had been orphaned too as a result of yellow fever, which took both of her parents 2 months after they had landed in New Orleans. If you wish to look further into the story of Walther, I can suggest no better than the brief autobiography or autobiographical notes which he has in his long gospel text around page 141. Very interesting. That's the only autobiography we have from him. He died on May 7th in 1887, having been sick, very sick, for about a year or so. He died May 7th, which is tomorrow, while the synod was meeting here in Fort Wayne, no less, undoubtedly at St. Paul's, and a synod that was deeply shocked by the news, even though they knew the old man was coming to the end of his life. As I say, you can read the autobiography which Walter himself suggests concerning his earlier life. Something you won't find there, or probably usually in the usual places, is the fact that this text which I have chosen was the text for his very first sermon. Might be a good one for you too, I suppose, at his first parish, in the little village church at Breunsdorf, a spiritually run-down congregation, which, however, was looking anxiously for the preacher to come, and went out of the town with a whole mass and escorted him very cordially into their village and into their church. Then he leaving this message in his first sermon, that he comes not because he chose to, but because God called him through them. And that he came not with his own wisdom, but with the word of God. Not with his own power, but under the power of God. Indeed, it beautifully portrays, or serves to portray, Walter's life, his work, and his ministry. For it illustrates his life, that is, how God did indeed put forth his hand upon him and touched my mouth. Walter would have said so. Whatever was accomplished, God touched my mouth, touched my life. And what resulted from his gracious touch. That's true of all of us. And I would like to dwell on the theme of God's touch, both in support of our life and in the supplying of his word. It is God's hand which governs our lives and supports us and removes all our fears and doubts as well, as it did for Jeremiah. Jeremiah became a prophet, as you may remember, at a rather young age, likewise, under a good king, under Josiah. And for 50 years, he served, like Walter did too, from 37 to 87. 50 years he served under increasingly wicked rulers. I'm talking of Jeremiah now. Like the rest of the prophets of God, Jeremiah too says, the word of the Lord came to me, which was not a deft sort of way for the prophet to say that his finest thoughts are now being, as it were, dignified by putting the name of God or the word of God to them. Now, God reminds him, Jeremiah, that his very life, even before he came forth out of the womb, had been intended by God, sanctified, ordained by God, already then, purposed by God for his own intents as a prophet of God. And yet, Jeremiah, as we see here with, well, I guess we could say commendable modesty, says, who am I that this should be, that you should choose me? With a kind of a humble diffidence to his own sufficiency for the large task that would be his. But God would have no excuses. He sweeps them aside, even as he did with Moses. In fact, you remember he got quite angry with Moses. He had heard enough of the excuses of Moses, I cannot speak. So God says here with Jeremiah, get off of this line of your own insufficiency for the task, and don't say that I am but a child. I full know what kind of world I am sending you into and what you're going to meet up against. I know the spirit of the age, an age which will bow religion politely into the corner, and you too. If you want to talk about religion, do so, but keep it to yourself in your own way. It's about the way the Israelites treated the prophet. But God's assurance to Jeremiah was, I'll be with you. And when you bear my word, I'll be there. You need not fear their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Walter, I think, could, well, look at this, resonate to these words in his own life. documented, I think, with his life in a similar sort of way. He was the eighth child, one of the youngest in a large family, pious family. Father, grandfather, great-grandfather had all been Lutheran preachers before him. But from school on, in his eighth year to university, he literally had been brought up under the influence of lethal rationalism, and says so, by his teachers and by the peer group around him. So that when I entered the university, he points out, I could not even recite the Ten Commandments, nor list the books of the Bible, nor did I know much about the Bible. But he fell in with a good group of young men there at the university and learned to know the Bible and to appreciate Orthodox Lutheran theology more and more in his life. So that by the time he graduated and when he was ordained and installed as pastor, he was so happy that the installation was in accord with the confessional Orthodox Lutheran position. He was a very determined man by that point. But God wanted him even further than that, as you know. And he's one of those that emigrates with the Saxons, is booked on the Amalia, but for various reasons which we won't enter into, he moves over to a ship leaving earlier, the Johann Georg. The Amalia, as you know, was later lost at sea with all hands on deck. On these shores, he rapidly moves through, as you remember, his life, pastor, editor, professor, president of the seminary, president of the synod. Not successively, these are all happening simultaneously in this man's life. This frail, unlikely sort of candidate who for some time had to stay out of school because of illness, God indeed put forth his hand in his life and assured him, I will be with you, I need you, I will deliver you. The promise that or blessing that Moses had spoken, and some of us have also shared with those in need, I think Walter took very earnestly, underneath are the everlasting arms of God. And as your days, so shall my strength be. They were, or God's strength was. God's touch in our lives is no less, I don't think. Each one of us is here through a rather unique sort of happenings, I suppose, each one to tell his own story as he now prepares for service in God's church. And I know it is true as well for members of the faculty as God has led them this far in ways, wondrous ways, which we never would have thought from the day of our graduation from the seminary. God's touch indeed has preserved and brought us to the point. But God's touch is not merely in support and preservation, but also, and especially in a preeminent way, in his supplying the word. For Jeremiah, it, as we say, came directly, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. By this word I have set thee above, given thee a power that shall transcend the very nations and the kingdoms, to root out and to destroy by the law, to build and to plant by the gospel. The task of a God-sent prophet was never better described, rightly dividing the word of truth, fiercely scoring and denouncing Israel's sins, and what passed for religion in that day. That was Jeremiah. And eloquently and sweetly and consolingly speaking God's gospel, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared to those who are contrite. Where sin abounded, there the condemnation pounded in Jeremiah's preaching. Where anguish and fear and contrition prevailed, there also forgiveness availed by his message. To these prophets, the word of God, as we say, came directly, but in perfect harmony always with every prophet who had ever preceded them or who would follow them. For Walter, there was the same solid base. God supplied the word, but not some word that was spun, as we would say, out of his own mind, but the word which he found in Holy Scriptures. That was a lesson that he had learned very well from the master theologian, as he stated when he delivered those famous lectures that are in here on Friday evenings after all the classes were done. That was towards the end of his life, 84 to 85. He points out there that we call these Luther hours. We call these Friday evening lectures, which form, as it were, the conclusion of the week's instruction, Luther hours, chiefly because in these lectures I let our beloved Father Luther, the God-appointed reformer and the common teacher of our church, speak to you. What was the lesson? It was Luther's great contribution that a preacher particularly, be obedient to God's word. Now, the word obedient in German is Gehorsam, that he would hear and obey. For it's Luther who detects that what, and the confessions then repeat that what the church needs is not so much the clever interpreter of the text as the faithful, attentive listener to what the word indeed teaches. For us, God has not chosen to speak directly, Luther reminds us, but through, as he called it, the curtains or the veils of God, the larvae dei of God, through the word that is given us through the prophets and apostles, through baptism, the holy baptism, and through the blessed sacrament. Therefore, Luther's caution is, do never say that no word of the Lord has ever come to you. Luther never tired pointing out what the epistle, which was read before, states. Nor did Walter ever tire. The word is nigh thee. Not one that you discover ascending here or there. It's insane to try to build ladders here or there. The word is nigh thee, which was given to you through prophet and apostle. Preach it faithfully. Root out and destroy with the law and with all severity the sin that lies in men's hearts. Also in the believers who continue to have the old sinful nature about them, and console and build and edify with the gospel and all its comforting sweetness. Know that word, love that word, believe that word for yourself, and then preach that word. God's touch is there in that word of God, which God granted you will someday be privileged to preach in his name on the basis of the word as given in Holy Scriptures. The centrality of that word, I don't think, was ever better stated when Walter, in the same lectures, comments, to baptize is easy. Even the midwife, after all, can do that. To administer the Lord's Supper is easy. But to preach properly is difficult. If a man is unable to preach, he does not belong in the ministry. The pulpit is not for him. For the pulpit is for preaching. Preaching is the central element of every divine service. Do not fear Do not say, but I am a child, I cannot do it. God has left us a goodly heritage in this man, and he's left us above all a goodly heritage in his word, which will equip us for our life and for our work and our ministry. And may God bless then your preaching, by which God then desires to touch many lives. This is his promise. As I say, in Walther we have a glorious heritage in just this regard. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.